to share the mug.
Welcome back.
Yeah, toast me with some Appleton's sure. Jamaican rum.
Yes, fresh from the old
Appleton Estate.
I could drink several of those.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, guys and dolls, coalesce, cogitate, cavort with us. Welcome to Share Your Buzz, episode, I believe, 92.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Tony.
Chris.
And, we are, I am excited to be back stateside.
Yeah, it's the first time I've seen this guy in a hot minute.
Yeah.
It's been nice not having him around.
Mm-hmm.
But, welcome back.
Thank you. Oh, man. I don't want to spend the whole show boring everybody with tales of my adventure, but...
But you
man,
will.
Do I have some stories to tell, man?
Tell them, man.
You haven't
missed much. We've actually been, you know... Did you catch any storm while you were down there?
A little bit.
Okay.
And that kind of ties into the beginning of the story.
Yeah.
And it kind of ties into the through line of the whole story as well. Yeah. Irma pretty much took a dildo to my ass this whole trip.
How'd that feel?
It's one of those times when you start off not liking it, and then you start liking it.
You adjust to that.
No, this whole trip, I can't say it was the perfect vacation, but it was the perfect Caribbean experience. If you're someone like me who is into reading about Caribbean, like Jimmy Buffett novels and Don't Stop the Carnival and Hemingway and the Keys and all that stuff like that, it's
Hunter S,
yeah. Because the Caribbean is going to do what the Caribbean wants to do, whether mm-hmm. or not your plans adhere to it.
Okay, you just went to Jamaica. Is it
Caribbean
or is it Caribbean? Let's break it down.
I go back and forth between each one.
I always thought it was Caribbean when I was growing up.
I naturally want to say Caribbean,
mm-hmm.
but when I was down there, I heard them pronounce it Caribbean. So
Caribbean.
Yeah.
Because Caribbean's hard to say with a Jamaican accent. Caribbean.
Yeah, well, they do draw out their vowels a lot. So
Caribbean.
I think we're doing the stereotypical.
I know.
But I tell you what,
we're
man.
We're not racist on the show, I promise.
When you get down there, the accents are like, they take you a little bit off guard for like the first hour. And then it's some, maybe if you're a person who doesn't like accents, but because I love all the island dialects, just mm-hmm. Before long, you just, it's just.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Did you get called baby a lot? By the women down there?
No.
Dude, when I was in the Bahamas, it was a smaller island. It was a tiny resort. It wasn't like like that Sands or whatever, the one, you know, with the water slide that goes in the fucking aquarium or whatever. Anyways, but I mean, they were like, hey, baby. You know, like they would just call me baby for some reason. The women were like, hey, baby, you know, come buy a T-shirt. But it's almost like Jamaican. I can't quite do it. But
yeah, it's more of like an island patois. Like it's like not like an island, like a bit. Bahama is like more of like a just a it's that mixture of all the different kind of islands mm-hmm. kind of settled in the Bahamas, but Jamaica is I didn't get called baby, but you don't get accosted too much by ladies. The women there.
I'm talking about really big
black mamas.
Big old black mamas.
Big old black mamas. Yeah.
You know.
Big old Bahamian mama.
Yeah.
Bahama mama.
Bahama mama. Literally, that's yes. Literally,
how long did it take us to get to that?
Man, how many drunks does it take to whatever?
So, all right, let me start from the beginning.
Okay. This trip, Ira fucked you with a dildo.
This trip was doomed from the beginning, mm-hmm. but it's like in the Caribbean, like you have to literally roll with the tide.
Oh, you went back. You said Caribbean.
Yeah, you have to literally roll with the tide, dude, mm-hmm. because we booked this trip. Of course, not knowing that Hurricane Irma was going to come through. And
how long ago?
I don't know, beginning of the summer.
Yeah.
Now, we knew it was the rainy season, and this was a possibility. But I figured, you know, we'll take a chance.
It's a crazy year. There aren't there, like, 21
There's Yeah, we haven't
so
had a storm that big in, like, at least coming that direction towards Florida in, like, 13 years.
Poor Florida. Hey, you guys, man.
No doubt.
You know, like, hope you guys are doing all right, for real.
So, we get... I get to the airport, and the first flight's on time, no problem, from Nashville to Fort Lauderdale. And I get to Fort Lauderdale, my flight from there to Montego Bay is delayed an hour. Now, at this point, Hurricane Irma is just kissing the easternmost coast of Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have, like, now with my delay, I have, like, barely an hour to land before the storm is supposed to hit right. And it's not going to hit Jamaica, but it's going to be to the northern coast of Cuba where they're not going to be able to fly.
The bands are going to be around.
Yeah,
sure,
well, they're not going to be able to fly there anymore. It's pretty much, like, from Fort Lauderdale to Jamaica because they're going to have to go.
Go ahead.
Well, so we take off, dude, and we're literally going around the storm. We take off and we start.
I was wondering, remember, because we were talking before you left. I was wondering if they fly over it because they're flying so high, or they go around it.
Dude, we took off and started heading west, and I'm like, what the fuck? And then because we were dodging the outermost bands, I believe.
Sure. Yeah. Did you still get some pretty rough?
Actually, it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
But
got far enough out.
Brandon, who I was meeting there, landed an hour before me, and he went through customs, and he asked the customs guy. He was like, "I have a friend who's meeting me here. He's be here in about an hour. Is what happens if he can't get here? Like the hotel's in his name. You know, is there something I can do? Maybe can I still check in to my hotel or something?" And the guy asked him what flight I was on from where.
Yeah.
Brandon said, Fort Lauderdale. The guy said, hope he makes it. Stamps his passport and says, next.
Damn.
So,
cold-blooded. Yeah. So, get your ass in here, motherfucker. Stamp. Boop. Next.
Actually, he probably said, where you from?
Where you from?
But, yeah, so I do make it.
You're bringing weed into the country? No, dude, African accent.
Yeah.
Who brings weed into Jamaica? Did you, like...
So I land, barely skirting the. Oh, I just popped there. Sorry. I barely skirt the out the, of Hurricane Irma. I land. That's all I wanted to do was get there. I'm like, yes, we just made it here. It's all gonna be good. So I meet up with Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
He found this.
Brandon, which was on our podcast episode. You know, who knows?
Been on here twice. Him and Kim come every year to visit. You know. So he already has this cab driver lined up. The guy was super cool. Shout out to my Kamar, who's a Jamaican guy that. He was so cool. We used him the whole rest of the trip. Every time we went somewhere,
he's got his personal number. Like,
yeah. We just called him up.
Yo, call me. Yeah. I can't help myself.
And dude, it was so funny though because you can tell we went on a day trip to Ocho Rios while we were there, and he took us around, let us do our own thing. When it came to lunchtime, he took us to this cool little jerk spot.
Nice.
And
a lot of jerks there.
Sorry, just me joke. And Brandon, dad the only joke. Gringos. In the But so we was like, man, come on in with us. Like, I'll buy you lunch. You drove us around all day, you know. So
yeah. He was like, hell yeah.
So we went in there, and you immediately can tell
mm-hmm.
when he switched from talking to me and Brandon to when he talked to the other locals.
He went to the
local
dialect went
totally different.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, so tell me about this guy though. I'm sure you guys got to know him. Like, is he a cool cat? Like, is there a little backstory with this cat? What's his name again?
Kamar Hazel.
Kamar Hazel.
If you go to Jamaica,
he'll
look like Kamar Hazel.
Sure.
He'll take you anywhere you want to go.
Did he give you any of his story? Did he tell you?
Not really.
You had lunch with this motherfucker? You didn't ask him, like...
No, we asked a lot about the island and stuff like that. I know he was from there. It was more like...
I can't believe you're like, what's your fucking story, Kamar? Hit it with me.
I should have. I should have. I should have asked Kamar more about himself, but I'm a selfish bastard. So...
I was actually interested, like, because I remember before you left, you were like, man, I just want to soak up the culture.
I do. Well, we did a lot of that because, well, that kind of gets to where it must. I'm not going to go through, like, play by play everything. So we'll jump around, and I'm sure throughout.
So you went to, what's this city?
The next, Montego Bay.
What's in that? No. What's the place you did a day trip to?
Ocho Rios.
What's up with that
place?
That's,
it's on the north side of the island.
What kind of a drive was that? How far?
It was about an hour, maybe it's a little bit more, hour and a half.
Yeah.
And we went through the little village of Ocho Rios.
Yeah.
And man, I tell you, this was a Sunday, like around noon. And it was exactly what you picture a Jamaican village in the, everybody was out like in the streets. Like
little houses
in front
on
the
hillside everywhere.
Yeah. But this was actually on the coastline.
Oh, okay.
So there's like cool. a little village on the coast,
yeah.
like one or two streets up from the beach.
Yeah.
And people were just out in the driveways, in the street, like out in front of the shops.
Just
the reggae music was playing. Everybody was passing spliffs around.
That sounds awesome.
And I have to preface that I made it known many times in this show that I don't smoke weed. Haven't smoked weed in about in about 12 years. But I'm gonna probably talk about it a lot on this show because you cannot go anywhere in Jamaica without being offered ganja.
Oh, I'm and no doubt.
The whole everywhere you go smells like ganja. It doesn't matter if you're at the beach, if you're in a
like,
restaurant.
Bro, your hair smells like weed.
Dude, ATM is they have their. The
Does it smell like ganja?
The way they do their ATMs is they're inside like a little glass box, like
and
a phone booth.
People bake it
and
out.
You walk in the phone booth and it's like you're in a hot box of ganja just everywhere you go. You cannot go anywhere without smelling like ganja, dude. So,
why does this yogurt taste like ganja?
And it's Jamaica has a scent, man, that is. It's good. It's a good. It's a beautiful scent, and it's Caribbean. It's like the humidity mixed with the
you
ganja.
And your fucking silent ages.
And it's almost like a like you can kind of smell the spices and stuff in the air.
Yeah.
And the girls there, the women, they kind of do. They smell like that. There's like a mixture of like a floral, whatever they wear. They all kind of. Had the same kind of scent that was like floral and spicy and kind of sweet, and it was the whole that mixed with the air and just the scent and the humidity and the heaviness of everything, mm-hmm. and it was just it had this really beautiful smell to it. The whole island did,
yeah.
And
so tell me
the hotel was the hotel was exactly what you want a hotel in the Caribbean to be. Everything was like
no air conditioning,
colonial. The lobby and was all open air. The veranda where you had your breakfast and dinner, okay, whatever, yeah. All open air.
But the rooms had AC.
The rooms had AC that worked a little bit.
Yeah, just enough to.
Yeah, it felt good when you came in from outside, but about after an hour, you're sweating your ass off again.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
And the room was sweet, dude. We had all I did was book a 2-bed room, but when we showed up, we had like. For the same price as like a regular hotel room here, yeah. It was like we had a suite there. It
oh,
was
they
like,
gave you the upgrade.
It was I don't know if there was an upgrade or what happened, but it
like
was
separate rooms.
We
and
had
stuff?
Like separate rooms. There was a kitchen in there and stuff. Like a little bar area to sit at. It was sweet, man.
Nice.
We were on the third floor, and the windows open up so you can like kind of peek your head out, and like you can like it had like a sliding glass door window for like open up from the middle.
Yeah.
And in the States, you can never do that. They're too safety conscious.
Right.
In Jamaica, they're like fuck, you fall out.
Fuck construction standards. So you guys are there in Jamaica. Was there a lot of people there, like tourists? Or I know it's in the off season, but surely some people had the same intention that you had.
For the first 2 days, we were pretty much the only gringos in the town, I believe, and that had something to do with the hurricane. Saturday,
people
Friday
started coming in a little bit.
Friday night, we had dinner at this place called Pier 1 up in the actual town of Montego Bay, and I will tell you what, when we flew in. I was nervous about the storm. I was a little bit anxious about leaving work for a week and like how that was going to go and how it was going to be when I got back.
I had
a bunch of anxieties and
dude,
stuff.
When I leave and come back, it's like my desk is just stacked with like.
I had all
shit.
Kinds of like I was you know
300 emails,
other things, personal life stuff that I was on my mind and what I was wondering about, and then not to mention is this hurricane going to hit my hometown back when my family's all in Orlando?
Sure.
So, but I will tell you what. We sat down at the bar on the veranda of this overlooking Montego Bay. There's a mountains. The whole there's like town is surrounded by mountains, which is awkward anyway, coming from a flat state like Florida. And like you don't see mountains next to the beach.
Yeah.
But then they come around, they hook around the bay, and they come to a point at the bottom, of like at the horizon, like they're stabbing the horizon.
Yeah.
And it was kind of stormy out when we first got there because it was still passing. So the clouds, the sunset made like this pink and purple decoration in the sky as it was going down over the bay. Yeah. And I tell you what, as soon as I ordered myself my first rum drink and looked at that horizon,
like,
there was
this is it.
there was no worries about anything else in the world, dude. I was like, America, who? What?
Expatriate Tony,
dude. And then
writes four novels.
That was it, dude.
Gets famous.
That was it, man. From the rest of the trip, that was it. Until. So it rained a little bit Saturday morning, Saturday night, but by Sunday, everything was cleared out and fucking like it was like straight up Caribbean, dude. It was awesome. That's the day we went to Ocho Rios, and we went to this. We were looking I wanted to go to the docks and hang out like where the ships come in on the main beach over there, and for some reason it didn't end up happening. He either couldn't find it or it was closed or something happened, and. So
what's the name of the city?
Ocho Rios.
Ocho Rios. That sounds Spanish.
Yeah, Eight Rivers. It was the there's a battle between the English and the Spanish, sure. or the Cubans and the Spanish. Okay. I don't know. A battle was fought there, yeah. and the Spanish.
Was there a fort there
won.
In Algiers, or?
There's at the waterfalls at Duns okay. River Falls. Cool. There's like where the battle was fought supposedly, and also Duns River Falls. We went there. We looked at it. It was cool.
Yeah.
It flows down and like there's a bunch of little lagoons and then a fall and then a lagoon then a fall and where it empties out onto to this beach is called James Bond Beach. That's where they filmed Dr. No.
Dude, like, did you go there?
We did not. We did not.
Did you go to the lagoon and swim naked?
We did not swim naked. We went to the falls.
Well, actually, you're with your buddy, so that's
yeah.
not
and
really
it was
good
cold
thing,
as fuck, dude. It's this is like
sure.
natural spring water coming from the mountains and shit. So it was. And
honey, I swear it's just cold water.
But we didn't end up going to the main beach, the docks. I guess I didn't do my research on some things as much as I should have.
Uh-huh.
I had this little trip planned in my head, how things were going to work out. And Montego Bay, the actual strip, was not exactly what I thought it was going to be. And I didn't really prepare for I didn't really prepare anything else because I thought we were just going to hang out in the strip for most of the time.
So what did you mean by that? What do you mean by this?
There was like a couple of restaurants
mm-hmm.
and a couple of bars and then the beach, which was immaculate, which is awesome. And there was a bar on the beach and a restaurant, which sure. was, but there, as
is this
far,
inside the,
this is in the bay, Montego Bay.
But is that the resort? Is it inside the resort or outside?
It's outside. Okay. We didn't stay in a resort. We just stayed at a regular hotel.
Okay. Could you get access to the resort and see what's in there? Was there anything in there?
We didn't try to go in there.
I'm sure you could. Like,
you can go into any of the bars and any of the hotels.
Sure.
We wandered around a little bit.
Yeah.
But like I said, it was, I never felt unsafe. Mm-hmm. But it's a hassle because every time you walk from point A to point B on the street, you get harassed by people trying to sell you weed, mm-hmm. sell you cocaine, sell you prostitutes, and they're yelling at you. They want to give you reggae music CDs,
yeah,
and they
yeah.
do this thing where they walk with you and talk with you for like a couple of blocks, and then they ask you for money, saying that they guided you safely to your next place. It's like a fucking old like mafia scam. They're like they walk you and then they ask you for money. For walking you.
What'd you do? What'd you say at that point?
We fell for it once. We gave the guy like some money, and then after that, whenever somebody would start walking with us, we'd be like, "Oh man, we don't need anybody. We're good. We know where we're going." And once you say that, they leave you alone. Like they're super nice once you say no.
Yeah,
the most part, we had two guys yell at us, but
What'd they say? I'm curious.
We were okay. So we met this kind of transfers into another story, but we met these other people that were cut down from New York. Dessa, Misael. Junior and Bridget. And Bridget was exactly what you imagine a Bridget to look like. She was just cutest white little innocent looking
like chick. What's her face? The actress Sally Field when she played Bridget.
I guess so.
You don't talk about
but she like and then like brown hair. Look, she was from New out west, I believe. I don't know.
Oh, was she?
I think she must have been. They must have all been in their 20s.
Yeah.
Late 20s. Maybe early, late 20s.
You had a crush on Bridget?
Well.
All right, I'll let you talk. Get in there. Dig in there, buddy.
There was a. We went out to. Oh, where were. You made me lost my story now. I was.
My bad.
We went out one night. We had. And we also went to the beach and we met this Japanese traveler. And we all kind of decided to go out to dinner together. So we go out to dinner, and then we're partying all night. We felt kind of safe because we were all Americans. We were in a big group. So we're all getting wasted.
Mm-hmm.
And on the way back to the hotel, we went back to their hotel for beers because they were actually doing an Airbnb in an apartment. So they had like a lot of room and shit to hang out.
Yeah.
So we went to the back to their place and just to chill out for a little bit, regroup.
And they did.
And somebody was trying to like sell us weed or sell us, you know, something, try to get us to look at a shop. That's the big thing too. All the vendors will try to they'll force shit on you, man. He asked her for money and she had said, she said no thank you, or I don't have anything or something like that. And he started going getting irate and telling her she was gonna burn in hell for not helping feed his family.
Damn.
And I'm like, damn, Bridget.
Yeah, I'm not going to Jamaica.
So, I never felt unsafe because in the bars and restaurants and the hotels and the local people that were in the bars, like we chatted with them.
Sure.
We went to a nightclub. We were talking to some people. We were. It was not. I did not feel awkward or unsafe in the bars or restaurants or anything. Yeah. It was only walking from point. It was only the vagrants on the street and the vendors, the merchants that would get you to come in there. And it was to the point where it was like the my favorite place that we went the whole time was at was down in the town of Montego Bay, which is a little bit of a walk, but it was the furthest. It was a long walk, and yeah. we only ended up going there once because we just didn't want to deal with the hassle of walking there and back and being harassed the whole time.
Yeah,
it was Jamaica is great. I probably wouldn't stay in Montego Bay again because of that. It was just it made it it was exhausting. Well, it was exhausting, man. It was all it was that. And you don't want to be rude, but you how many times can you say no to the same offer by every different person? And then it doesn't stop if you say no once. The next day they recognize you and they try to talk to you again and try to scam you with some other scam. It's like it never stops.
Yeah.
And you can't even like I don't know like when you're always on edge, it's hard to relax and enjoy it.
Sure.
So it's like once you get to where you're going, then you can finally relax.
Yeah.
But at that point, you have to remember that you got to walk back. So you're like, the only time I really felt relaxed was out when I was at the hotel because it's like, I can get drunk here and not have to worry about, I can just walk up to my room.
Sure.
So that made it a little uneasy. It was, and I don't want to talk bad about the people that were cool because Kamar was a fucking awesome driver. Hooked us up, stayed with us while we were out to make sure we didn't get bothered.
Yeah.
Took us a cool place. Oh, so bingo, bango, bongo, back to where I was talking about.
Yeah.
We couldn't find the beach we wanted to go to at Ocho Rios. So he was like, listen, I'll just let me take you to this cool spot that I know. So he takes us down to this place called Mahogany Beach.
Yeah.
And it's this little cove with mountains on one side and this little wood and there's a old school like concrete dock on the other. A little beach shack. The beach is like a thin strip of rocky beach and then there's like sandy and grassy, like kind of like a picnic-y area.
Yeah.
And there's palm trees for shade and there's like some locals down there. There's some kids like up on one side. There's a mountainside, and it looked like a bunch of like rainforest plants, like palm trees and big broadleaf plants. And then at the bottom of that, there was a natural line of rocks that made like a little shallow water pool. And then rocky beach gave way to like some sandy beach over here where you can go in, and it was crystal clear, blue water, hardly any tide. The tide doesn't smack you around like it does on the east coast of Florida. The tide there is it doesn't come at you from the top like a surf. It kind of unfolds from the bottom like you're taking a sheet and whipping it over the bed, you know. And so we sat out there, and then there's some boats docked up, and man, I couldn't tell you how many times over this whole trip I spent a lot of time in the Caribbean Sea, and I just laying on my back floating with my nose and mouth sticking out of the water and just thinking like how unbelievable it was of where I was and what I was doing.
Sure.
Like, I read about this shit in novels, and now I'm here doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there floating in this little cove on the beach.
Yeah.
And there's this little shack with, like, one local dude working, and he's... we just go up there, have some red stripes.
Yeah.
And ordering... Like, it's not gimmicky there to order a red stripe. Like, it's not a touristy thing. Like, you go to a... If you go to, like, a Margaritaville and you order a land shark or a margarita or something like that, this is, like... That's like what all the bars carry, and there's multiple. When you go there, there's multiple kinds of red stripe. Like
really, I've only had the one. I think
you can get red stripe light, you can get red stripe bold, you can get red stripe on regular red stripe. They have flavored red stripes.
Crazy.
They red stripe makes a stout called Dragon Stout.
Dude, was it good?
Super fucking good, dude.
Fuck yeah.
And salt and strong too. And when you go to the bars there, dude, you can buy pints of booze at the bar and then buy like a Diet Coke and make your own fucking drink sitting at the
apparently
bar.
So because we're drinking some right now. Cheers to you, Tony. I've actually almost finished mine. Yeah. Tony has he's talking so fucking much. He's not
man
either.
I'm excited
for you, dude. I'm living vicariously with you.
So
excited for you.
I'm all over the place though, because the actual that's much like the Caribbean, there is extreme highs and extreme lows. And sometimes the extreme lows turn into extreme highs unknowingly. So about Saturday night, Sunday morning, Hurricane Irma makes an eastern turn and slams into my hometown of Orlando, Florida.
Hey, so before we come back to that, is it cool if I smoke a cigarette, take a pause right quick?
Yeah, we can do that.
All right, man.
We'll
come
be back with
that.
The second half of the story.
Yeah, we'll be back. So the second half of the story... So you're down there.
Picking up where we left off.
You've been down there. This is Sunday?
This is Sunday morning.
And you're supposed
to
leave...
I wake up Tuesday. I wake up Sunday morning to find out that the hurricane made a right turn, Clyde, and hit my hometown. And my, so I'm like, I'm frantically trying to call my folks and find out what's going on, call my daughter. She's a little bit north in Jacksonville, and she's safe. By the time it got to Jacksonville, it was only a tropical storm. She was out of power, and the island closed down for a couple of days, so she had no work for a few days. But I was finally able to get a hold of my folks, and they had some pretty some down fences.
Yeah, I was wondering some, like some how pretty, the
some pretty bad storms.
Your dad's pool some cover hold up.
They had power.
Yeah.
And yeah, everything held up. There was some down fence, but for the my little sister though.
Oh.
Tree fell across her driveway, totaling both cars.
Oh shit!
Tree fell through her back patio, like her covered her like a covered lanai, like a Florida room they call it.
Uh huh.
Through that, just smashed that.
Wow.
No structural damage to the house, but luckily, yeah. But it just two down trees, one in the backyard, one in the front yard, ooh. Both doing damage.
Wow. Got insurance, I assume.
No power. They've been at my parents' house for like a week now.
Oh, shit. With the kid, right? She's got a kid?
With two kids,
two
yep.
kids. Oh, man. How the so, kids hold it? Were they scared?
I imagine so.
First hurricane or?
For them, probably, yeah. No, they were probably too little to remember when Charlie came through, but... It was, yeah, man, it was,
dude,
like, tree fell right outside, like, the big sliding glass door. Luckily, it was boarded up, you know, my brother-in-law did a good job taking care of his family.
Yeah.
So, but man, yeah, so here I am, away on a tropical island. At this point, the storm is past us, and we're starting to get great weather, but here I am on vacation while my hometown is getting devastated by a tornado. Yeah. And now it's moving inching closer to Jacksonville where my daughter lives.
Yeah.
And luckily, like I said before, everything was fine there. It like decreased in speed.
Sure.
But I was freaking out at this point.
Yeah.
How am I chilling? I'm away at a tropical paradise while my home state is getting ravished by this storm.
Yeah.
And I'm freaking out. And to make matters worse, it's supposed to cut up through Georgia and the middle of Tennessee right as the day I'm supposed to come home.
Yeah.
So I finally get a hold of everybody. I kind of ease my, you know, find out everybody's okay. What are we, like, we're going to go about our vacation, try to have a good time. Everybody's safe. That's what matters.
Yeah.
So that was the beginning of, like, again, though, you never know what the storm's going to do in the Caribbean, man. We went to Ocho Rios that day.
I'm going
to
pause you for a second. This rum is intense. You know you're drinking some strong ass, good ass rum when it cuts through the Coke. Like,
oh, we're drinking the Ray and Nephew. This is the stuff I brought back from Jamaica. This is what we were drinking while we were down there. I've been in a rum daze for 6 days.
I've never tasted a clear rum that tastes like a dark rum. It tastes like a dark rum. It's insane, but it's clear.
Mm-hmm.
It's intense. It's good.
There is everybody that I would make a joke to. Like, even the cab driver, I'd say, man, that's going to take me days to get this rum out of my head. They just laugh at me. Welcome to Jamaica, man. No problem. It's just, everything is no problem. And this trip had the most amount of problems I've ever been. In a place that his slogan is no problem, it's all it was a problem.
It was a lot of problems,
we go about our day. Sunday was a great day in Ocho Rios. Monday, what did we do Monday? It was a beach day or something. I forget what we did. And so Monday morning, by the way, talking about the hotel we stayed in, like, was the picturesque Caribbean hotel. We woke up every morning and walked downstairs and on the open-air veranda and got served fresh fruit. And Blue Mountain coffee. We had fresh papaya and pineapple and oranges for breakfast every morning. And so it toast if you wanted it.
Nice.
And that was while we were looking. Like, it was, I'm not going to lie, it was hot. It was pretty humid. And
even in the morning.
Even in the morning.
Sure.
But you're outside and it's, I wake up early, so I was down there about 7:30 every day. And the people that were serving were like, they remember you. They talk to you. Hey, well, good morning. What's going on? How you doing? They remember you. Same thing? Yeah, same thing. I had the same thing for breakfast every day because how many times, like, I could never get tired of eating fresh papaya and pineapple for breakfast every day, man. It's fucking awesome.
Or someone saying same thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know me, brother.
So we, yeah, where was, oh, so we were supposed to fly home on Tuesday. We check our flight. Flight canceled. Apparently, the Fort Lauderdale and Miami and Orlando airports were all closed.
Sure.
The planes, what happened was the planes that were supposed to come get us weren't able to come get us. Hmm. So there were no planes to take us home.
So
even when
the
airport,
or something like
even
that?
When the airport opened back up,
yeah,
they were so behind. Like, there were no planes in Jamaica to take us home. The planes that were supposed to come get us couldn't get to us.
Yeah.
So we frantically are panicking. I'm calling the airline. Brandon's calling the airline. We're trying to – I get a flight for Friday. And that's like an extra 3 nights. So then I have to – he gets a flight for Thursday, which means I'm like, I'm going to be stuck there for one day by myself. After that, I finally secure that. Then I have to call my boss and go and tell him I'm not going to be back to work till freaking Monday.
Sure.
When I was only supposed to be gone for 3 days. I only set my department up to handle supplies for 3 days of me being gone.
Yeah.
I finally get through to him. He says, you know, they'll figure it out in the department, but then I got to call HR and figure out if I can use my days and, you know, work that out. Finally get that all worked out. They hooked me up. I don't like to shout out where I work, but I do want to give a shout out to anybody who listens to from where I work, because the HR department there and my supervisor were super cool and hooked me the hell up. Like, they took care of me.
Gave you an advance on some time or something?
They really took care of me. They allowed me to use time that I would, like, with, like, no penalties and stuff like that. It was really, they really hooked me up. So, and I appreciate that. But, and then we had to go, then we went downstairs to talk to the hotel, secure the days. And at that point, once everything was taken care of, it's set in that,
okay, I'm here for another 3 days.
I'm here for another 3 days, and I only planned a budget for 4 days, 5 days.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to be here for 7 days.
Bust out the old credit card.
Well, that too, but so let me tell you this. Okay, so I had set up with my
phone.
A travel plan.
Oh, with your phone. I remember you talking about, you said you had to do your phone thing.
Yeah, the phone actually ended up working fine, but the travel plan I set up for my bank.
Yes.
The...
When you tell them, hey, I'm going to be out of town, so don't shit my shit
the
down.
ATM at my hotel, or the only ATM on Gloucester Avenue, I put my card in, and it wouldn't accept it.
Yeah.
I put my credit card in and tried to get a cash advance.
Yeah.
It wouldn't accept it.
Huh.
I called my bank 3 times.
Yeah.
All times they said, oh, this was this. We'll try it now. Like, this is it. It should be working fine. So we went to Ocho Rios. That Sunday, I stopped at the bank there, and it worked.
Yeah.
Now, hindsight is 20/20. I should have gotten 20/20. That's 60. I should have gotten.
That's a lot of 20s.
I should have gotten more cash out then.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to carry all that cash on my person. But
yeah.
Now we're looking back. I should have gotten cash out while my card was working.
Yeah.
But also, I think the bank puts a limit on what you could take out a day.
Yeah.
So I went to the bank on the way out there. Got like a couple hundred out.
Yeah.
Thought to myself, you know what? Let's stop again on the way back, just in case it doesn't work at the hotel.
Yeah.
And it only let me take out 100 this time.
Yeah.
So I think I might have a $300 a day limit.
Okay.
But I was like, okay, well then that's cool. That must have been what happened. So tomorrow I'll wake up and it should work at the hotel. Nope. Couldn't get money out for the whole rest of the trip. My cards
shit.
Wouldn't work. Now they worked luckily, if I used the card at a restaurant or a bar.
Yeah.
But you get charged the transfer rate more. Like, if you go to the ATM, the bank doesn't charge you it's like a regular ATM. You get charged their transaction fee, and you get charged the bank's transaction fee, but they don't charge you to change the money, international monies.
Gotcha.
If you use your credit card, they charge you a percentage rate to change your money to whatever the international exchange is.
Yeah.
So my cards worked, but I end up paying more for everything.
Yeah.
If I would have just gotten cash out.
So did the 200 not last you, I guess?
No. I mean, because looking back, I was under the impression I was going to be able to get more money out at some point.
So what was the drink there? Like a beer or a fucking cocktail?
Standard prices. It wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, the rum was cheap. If you got the Jamaican rum, you can drink all day for pretty cheap. It's not a big deal. Even the beers were pretty cheap.
Yeah.
It was not like theme park prices. If you went to like a nice restaurant or something like that, then you were paying. Like if you went to Margaritaville or something.
So
you were
the exchange rate? I mean, what's their?
It was
almost
like the way they do it. They do dollars, but they don't do cents the way we do cents. Like everything there is, instead of doing like 100 cents is a dollar.
Uh-huh.
They just do, $1,000, or they just do like $100 is like one. Like $100 is like, and then so like let's say. Like if it costs
$50 is 0.5 or some shit.
Like it's almost like add 2 zeros to the end of everything. It's not exactly that, but it's somewhere close to that. Where like, when you go to order a beer, it'll be like
it'll be 100. It'll be like 300.
No, that would only be like $3. It'd be like 30,000. It would be. I don't know. I'm confusing myself now while I'm talking about. Brandon did all the conversions for me while we were there, but it's almost like a. You can kind of.
So if it's
guess
if it's
going to be
if
like
it's
a 10.
$3 is 3.0, but you're adding 2 zeros, so 3,000. Essentially.
Well, instead of saying like.
be 3,000, man.
Yeah, everything is like, instead of having cents, like instead of saying like 13.50, it's just everything is dollars. And it's like if you how much does it cost?
Okay, so your sandwich costs $13.50. What do they tell you?
They would say it's $1,350. Like they actually have like their $50 bills would be like our 50 cents, like sort of. It's they don't do.
They would say like, $1,350.
Yeah, but that would only be like I guess like.
I see what you're saying.
Again, you can round it. You could say like that would be like $13, but it's not exactly that. Like if you take out $200 from the ATM, it's like $230-something Jamaican money, but with the transaction fees and everything. So no, hold on, that's not right. That's with the. If you go to take out like $200, American money, you got to put in like $30,000 Jamaican money, and it's like everything is like to the tenth, like it's. I don't know.
A tenth is 1 zero.
You should have asked me before.
Is two.
It's a hundredth.
Is three.
It's to the hundredth. Everything's to the hundredth because they don't do cents the way we do cents. Uh-huh. So everything is to the hundredth.
Yeah.
Rather than us to the one, like.
Yeah. Interesting. Cray.
You should have asked me to explain the money before I had two of these Ray and nephew fucking overproof rum drinks. Now I'm confusing myself in the middle of the sentence.
I gotta tell you, I've got a great buzz. I want to hear more. So
okay. So we are. We find out we're stuck there. I mean, there's worse places to be stuck.
Sure.
But.
Well, you told me earlier you'd rather be.
Oh, dude.
You said you went back to work that one day and you were like.
I would. When you would have asked me when I came back last night, if you would have asked me. I was. After 6 days in the tropics of just pickling myself with rum and sunshine, there and then. And not having, like, any, like, day to day. Because here's my problem. I had 3 days on a limited budget in the tropics to wake up and do nothing. Because once I got all these things situated, like once I knew my work and my hotel and everything was going to be good and paid for and everything was fine, then it's like you set into, well, now I need to survive. We went from being in vacation mode to survival mode. Because now we were like, but it was like, what are we going to do? For 3 days, and on a like we took a day trip to Ocho Rios. We were gonna go on another excursion, but when we found out we had to stay for 3 extra nights, we were like, well, now that money has to go to the 3 extra. So we pretty much traded an excursion for a couple extra days. So, but we were like pretty much beach bums for an extra couple of days.
That sounds great.
It was incredible. But
you could just go buy a bottle, like you said. You could buy a bottle anywhere, bring it to the beach with you.
And you know how bored I get, like you. If I have nothing to do on a weekend, imagine me waking up in the tropics with nothing to do. I mean, it's pretty easy to start drinking at 11 o'clock in the morning when there's nothing to freaking, all you have to do all day.
A rum with your eggs. I mean, dude. Fuck it, dude. You know what I'm saying?
So And that's all we did for the rest of the trip was we kind of went, got up, went to the beach, like just perfect. And it worked out bittersweet because the extra 2 days we were there were the best days, like the nicest weather days. The water was so calm, so clear. You can walk out shoulder deep, look down and see your feet. The sand is so soft. There's no tide. Like it doesn't crash, so you can actually just lay with your belly in the sand in the shallow water and let the water roll over you.
What was that you said to me earlier? It was almost like, yeah, it makes perfect sense. You'd rather spend most a day or something. Oh yeah.
But on the way back from the trip,
yeah,
I was pickled. I was wet because I was sweaty because I didn't have any like I only brought 4 days worth of clothes and I had to make them last, you know, 2 more days.
I'm dry, was stinking.
Everything was kind of like just damp, and like my bathing suit from the combination of salt water and not being washed when against your nuts for 6 days in a row. It was everything was a little bit ripe, and then traveling all day yesterday in those like same clothes. If you would have asked me last night, I would have said I was anxious to get back to normal life. Well, that's what I was trying to say about having all every day to yourself to do nothing. And I didn't have my laptop, so I did write in like I wrote a lot in like my notepad, but I didn't have anything to keep me busy. So I was anxious to get home and get back to a little bit of normalcy. And that lasted about half a day. And at about lunchtime at work today, I was like, you know what? I would trade 1,000 shitty days in paradise for one good day at work.
Perfect.
Like one good day at work is not worth 1,000. Like it's
no doubt. That's fine. I went to the Bahamas once. That's the only time I've ever left the country. Even though technically it's not really leaving the country, but I don't have a passport. But I remember I actually got stranded down there for a few extra days too because of a hurricane in Florida, of course. And but yeah, I remember thinking, oh my god, I could do this.
I didn't realize we were Hura twins.
Right, we are.
But
it was great. I used to work at Kinko's, throwing the name out there. I was a copy man, making copies. But yeah, I called them. I was like, yeah, I'm stuck in the Bahamas. I don't know if they believe me or not, but luckily, I think you know, hurricane, whatever the fuck it was on the news.
Right. Oh man.
It was okay. You're from Florida. 2004.
That might have been Hurricane Charlie.
I think it might have been Charlie actually.
Charlie and Francis, and that's when we had the three in a row.
It was bam, bam, bam. That was the time.
It was Charlie, Irene, and Francis, I believe.
I'll never forget one of the best meals I've ever had in my entire life. We're at this restaurant, and literally the waves are crashing, like within 5 feet of the deck. Mm-hmm. And like you said, in that part of the country, it's not big waves. It's these little these waves, like you were saying. But they're just popping up. You know, it's nothing crazy. They're just popping in and out, you know. And you're eating this fresh seafood that was literally caught that day. Amazingly fresh. Yep. I had the most amazing mahi-mahi. I had, you know, just whatever crab. You know, you name it, dude. Like, it was amazing. And the sun was setting, you know.
Dude, it's
there's nothing like a sunset in that sort of
It makes you space. Realize why people expatriate.
And it makes you feel small and yet part of it in a way, you know what I'm saying? Because
there's nothing.
When you see that big sky, you're like, oh my. Because, you know, here in Tennessee, we got the rolling hills. There's a limited skyline. Yeah, we get great sunsets, but if you're in. You know what I'm saying? You almost have to be up high
to
see one.
You feel connected to the universe because there's so many stars out in the Caribbean when there's nothing but when there's no light from any city to drown that out. So it was just.
I don't know. It's like a vacuum in a way. I know that sounds crazy, but anytime I go to the beach, I feel like it sort of sucks me in a way. A little bit closer to.
I spent so much time laying, floating belly up in the Caribbean Sea. Thinking to myself, like, this is real right now. Mm-hmm. I'm laying here. Like, I read about this in books, and now I'm sitting here. And it's not even my first time to the Caribbean, but I always, every time, it's like, I can't believe I'm fucking here. Just like, this, I can understand, like, I'm floating in the same ocean that the people I look up to floated in, you know, like, and this is where great novels came from. This is where the great writers of, you know, God damn it. I'm hearing, I'm in third person hearing myself getting drunker on the mic drinking this goddamn Ray and Nephew.
You're fine. I feel like Hemingway right now a little bit, even though I'm not the most articulate fellow in the world.
I'll tell you
drinking this
man,
delicious rum. My, talking about the beach. And
I've lost totally track of where the story was, but we...
let me see. You're stuck there. Okay, so we got 3 days left. You're beach bumming it.
There's no way I can tell all the little minutia of what happened in the past 6 days. So I'm sure this is going to... As stories come up over the next few weeks, I'll probably relate back and tell other stories. But I was actually able to catch an earlier flight back on Thursday, so me and Brandon caught the same flight home. So I was actually only stranded for 2 days. But still, it was just... It was... When you're there... With nothing to do and nothing to not do anything if you wanted to, like I actually tried to work out in the room a couple of times in the morning just to kind of just do something normal, you know. So one day we just sat around from the morning and watched TV just to kind of make ourselves do something that wasn't like just some kind of normalcy to you know watch a little bit of news or something kind of. And
so you were already vacationed out.
Yeah, I can see myself living in the tropics, mm-hmm. if I was living there. But I can't, I'm not the kind of person that could be on vacation for 6 days in a row, because at some point I'm tired of vacation. I want to do something. Like I can't do nothing for that long in a row. And maybe if I had more money, I can, mm-hmm. we can go do excursions or something like that. But the fact that we were just beach bumming it and drinking rum all day, and it just made me feel like I'm just another pickled tourist. By the time I got home last night, I was ready to sleep in my own bed and get sure. back to some kind of normalcy,
yeah.
see my friends. You know, I got lots of stories to tell, so there's plenty of songs that can come out of it, plenty of, like, stories. I pretty much, my whole next book has pretty much been written on the story, because it's pretty much, I mean, just to think of the, I mean, that's the perfect third act, right? Like, you're in another country while a storm is devastating your hometown.
Sure.
That's, like, the ultimate, like, second act drama.
Yeah.
So there's definitely good things out of it, but I was ready to come home. But like I said, I have 1 day back, and I'm here at home, and I'm ready to go back to the tropics again, man. Yeah. I just need a little breather. Like, I can't be it was getting to me, just being on vacation that long. I can only drink so much rum.
Sure. Well, I mean, if you lived there, you would be on a schedule, and you wouldn't be drinking,
yeah, exactly.
every day.
Exactly. Although maybe not in Jamaica, because I think they do drink every day.
Sure.
I think somebody told me that town was built on rum.
Yeah.
And I believe it, because there was a pirate town, man. Port Royal, Jamaica.
Yeah.
Was like where Henry Morgan set up his fleet back in the day.
So everyone there just pretty much smokes weed and drinks.
Smokes weed and drinks, man. I mean, I think it's a large part of everybody's daily life there.
Yeah.
Now we did drive. I'm giving highlights, but we did drive through some towns, and we saw some affluence, and we saw some poverty.
Sure.
And there's a lot of both.
Yeah.
I was told one of the things that we did talk about with Kumar was we talked about the government and the country. I asked him about that, and he was saying about how all these beautiful houses on the hills, how they were mostly the business owners and the politicians,
mm-hmm.
and the rest of the people lived, in meager livings, but not poverty. There were towns. I mean, there was the town of Montego Bay. It's not like it's not third world. You know, it's like it's a city. There's things to do.
Yeah,
and the people were not, you know, slumming it. It just so happened that I think the area that we were in, because I feel like if we would have stayed in a nicer area, maybe like Negril or something like that, mm-hmm. it would have been a little bit different. I got the vibe that Montego Bay was like almost like the Daytona Beach or the Panama City.
Sure.
It was like a party town for like where people go just to get messed up.
Yeah.
And the cruise ships came in every Monday and Wednesday. So we actually, that was a lot of fun, because then we weren't the only white people on the beach anymore.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, I was telling the guy at the bar, the Jamaican guy that was serving us. He served us like almost the whole time we were there at the sandbar on the beach.
Yeah.
Which was a cool little shout out to those guys. I never got the dude's name, but it was the sandbar in Montego Bay in Doctor's Cave Beach. It's like a restaurant bar out there. It's fucking. It was awesome. They took care of us good. And we were there when the ships came in, one Monday and Wednesday. And it was cool, because that's when they all come out And like it, the party starts. Like when the cruise ship comes in, everybody's out, everybody's doing gear, stuff. Yeah, they're all trying to sell their wares and hawk their baubles.
Yeah.
So they were everybody was out and partying. There's like the DJ's playing reggae music on like reggae dance music.
Yeah.
Everything's good.
And all the locals put their act on.
Yeah, right. Everything's hot.
Welcome to Jamaica.
But it did make me realize, I told Brandon and I told the bartender, I was like, man, I come from a touristy town in Orlando, and I would say even Nashville, maybe not so much anymore, but still pretty much still a lot like that in certain areas.
Yeah.
And now I understand what people talk about when they go to the islands, and they're like, I want to go to the remote places that the tourists don't go.
Sure.
Because when the cruise ship unloads, and all the, it's either couples or old people or families of pasty, fat Americans, just they all flow, the tour bus pulls up from the dock to the beach, out of the shuttle.
And all of a sudden the population increases.
And all of a sudden,
8,000.
All of a sudden, I'm looking at what I could look at anywhere.
Sure.
And I'm just looking at a bunch of fat white people. And I was like, man, I told the guy at the bar.
Shout out to all the fat white people.
Damn, just, by the way. I was like, man, I like it much better when I was the only gringo on the beach. And he started cracking up laughing. Actually filled my beer up for free.
Nice.
They will take care of you, man. I was talking to some people at the bar, and I had only brought a certain amount of cash with me, but we were in conversation and I couldn't get another beer, and he took my cup and started filling up. I was like, oh my man, I'm sorry, man, but I'm out of cash. That's up in the hotel room. He's like, no, man, I'm the house.
Nice.
So, and you know, when you do come back, you take care of him, you know? Shout out to not that anybody's listening in Jamaica, but if you are,
did you Kenny, share? Did you tell everybody you would do a podcast?
I did, but I don't think anybody cared. Right. I don't think anybody cared. At Doctor's Cave Hotel in Montego Bay, there's a cat named Kenny
who works there.
The cool Kenny, and every on Saturdays and Tuesday nights, and we were there for both. They do a happy hour rum punch where you can go down there and just drink all the rum punch you want for an hour.
Nice.
So, and Kenny, we cool ass dude. We got to know him a little bit, and probably besides Kamar the driver, probably the only other like person that we met that didn't try to scam us for some money or something. Like, he was just straight up cool as hell.
Yeah.
And we sat there and we talked to him many nights at the hotel bar. And the hotel bar was not like your standard cheesy hotel bar. This was like a bar that people from other places would come to. Like, it was a good bar.
Yeah.
And it was all like tikied out, but they played reggae music. And at 6 o'clock, when the rum punch started, he would start playing music, and you'd hear it like in the rooms and shit. Like, you walk downstairs and it's just jamming. He's getting down.
Yeah.
But the first night, the first Saturday we were there, it was kind of dead because the storm had just rolled through, and we were at I forget what we did on Saturday. I think we just bebopped around town. Like, we went to the shops and shit because it was kind of stormy out a little bit still. The storm was just kind of passing, so it was still kind of gray out, still kind of rainy. So we were like, well, let's just stay here and just go shopping. And and then it had cleared up, so I went to the beach. Brandon went. It was Saturday. Brandon wanted to watch his the Ohio State game, so I stayed at the beach, and he went up to the room.
How the fuck did he watch that?
He had it in the room.
Yeah.
So I got a little buzzed at
the
beach.
American television.
Yeah.
Fuck. All right.
And then I made my way back to the hotel because the plan was to go get dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm having a good time at the beach bar, but I was like, all right, it's time for me to go get dinner. I don't want to get too messed up. So I get to the hotel, and I see that the bar is open in the hotel, and Kenny's in there. So I thought maybe I'd stop in, have a red stripe.
Yeah.
Just kind of bullshit a little bit. So at this point, it was the beginning of the vacation. We were on island time. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm not going to hold myself to a schedule. I'm just going to do what I want. I do what I want. So we go in there, and I start talking with Kenny, and we start bullshitting back and forth. And there's another guy in there that's from Turks, and he's freaking out because Turks got devastated. Turks got blown away.
Turks and Bagels or whatever.
Turks and Caicos.
Caicos.
Turks and Bagels is my new my new Caribbean Jewish restaurant that I'm opening. It's called Turks and Bagels.
Dude, that's perfect. Oh my god. Patent, copyright, trademark.
It's my new Caribbean Jewish deli.
Oh Turks and Bagels. I'm doing it. We're going to start a bar called Turks and Bagels. We're going to serve rum and kosher food.
I need to write that down so that can be the name of the show this week.
Turks and Bagels. Perfect. But
but he was devastated. And another guy was, there were two dudes that these Indian fellows, like Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And
I didn't figure they were Native Americans.
My first instinct was to have said that they were a couple, but I'm not going to assume.
I'm sorry.
Not going to assume they're a couple. Well, you know what's actually more funny is that when the Caribbean, when Columbus, quote unquote, discovered the Caribbean, mm-hmm. where people already lived, and thought it was India.
Yeah.
And now actual people from India live in the Caribbean.
Sure.
But I mean, he did think the Bahamas was China. Actually, that was one of the things that Kamar told us about when we were driving. I'm sorry, I'm getting dry mouth. He was like, we drove past the place where Columbus landed, and he even laughed. He was like, this is where Columbus discovered us.
He's like, just matter of fact. So let me ask you a question. So in Jamaica, like, have they always, I don't know if it's African influence. I mean, the Jamaicans always like, I'm curious.
Well,
I want to finish
the story I was telling.
Yeah, I'm just
curious.
But
I will say
like,
there's a lot of, I imagine, you know, it's hard. It's awkward for us to talk about it because we're two white dudes sitting here.
Sure.
But we got to be honest about it. The Caribbean was fueled on the slave trade back in the day.
Sure, that's
so
okay.
It's a lot of African, yeah.
Sure.
And the people of Jamaica, now the modern people,
uh-huh.
are a lot more akin to Africans,
sure.
I think, than the African Americans. That I are like the African Americans are very here in America, and I feel like even saying like using terms like I don't want to other anybody. We are definitely not racist on this show. I don't know how to talk about this.
Well,
like,
I probably shouldn't ask the question.
I feel
I'm
very
just curious,
but no, I made an observation that the African Americans in America are still very Americanized,
uh-huh.
Africans,
sure.
whereas the people in the islands seem to be more akin to their actual African heritage,
mm-hmm.
and just in the way they carry themselves and the stature, you know, they're very proud people. They're very
which African Americans are, you know,
yeah,
so
but the
in a different way, I feel like.
I don't want to say something wrong by accident but it seems like I was, and the it just.
I just remember when I was in the Bahamas, it was very, it seemed like...
The island people of the Bahamas, they have not succumbed to the dalliance of American living as much as the African Americans in America have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, they're more akin to their African brethren,
sure,
I feel like.
Sure, yeah, totally.
And I'm not...
got that vibe when I was...
Yeah,
in the
best way possible.
Caribbean.
Like, they're all ripped and
which
hot.
Is, well, no, what's, well, I was talking about physically.
I was talking about physically.
Sure, I was talking about...
They're all...
True.
They're all smoking hot.
So get back to your story.
America's obesity problem carries over through the African-American culture. In the islands, they're all smoking freaking hot.
Well,
I'll say that.
The diet and all that jazz, I get it. You know what I'm saying?
So,
fat and happy over here in America.
I might cut this whole segment up.
Yeah, you probably should. Get back to your fucking story.
Now I'm going to be nervous that I said that I offend some people. I mean, no offense by any of this, I got to
do... Fuck you if you're overly sensitive. Get on. We'll be fine.
So, where was I? What the fuck? Okay, so I do the rum punch happy hour with
So you went back. You're like, okay, I'm gonna stop here.
Yeah.
And before we go have dinner.
Yeah. So I stopped
in
the hotel bar.
Yeah.
And it just so happened that he was getting ready for the rum punch happy hour. Kenny, was an awesome local Jamaican dude that was, I pretty much befriended the whole time. In fact, when he was walking down through the lobby, when we were leaving. I think he stayed at the hotel. I think so. We like lived there or was there for like, I don't know. But he was walking through the lobby as we were leaving, and like was not just like he was not just a work Like, he wasn't just cool with us while he was working. Yeah. Like, we saw him a couple of times off duty, yeah, and he would hang out, chill with us. Like, he was just a really cool dude. I don't know his last name, but if you go to Doctor's Cave Beach in Montego Bay, say what's up to Kenny. And he's like, he won a bunch of awards for I think TripAdvisor nominated him for like one of the coolest bartenders or something.
Nice.
I don't know what the award was for. Sorry, Kenny. But so we walked down there, and he's got a bunch of like, you know, some cool chill reggae music playing. And he asked me if I had any suggestions, and I was telling him about this cat that I know, this guy that I'm into, Mishka. And he was like, well, put him on. And yeah. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, come around. So he's like, he came around the bar and he asked me to come around the bar and he had his laptop set up and he was like, yeah, just put in what you want.
Yeah.
So we started going back and forth on tunes. He nice. Showed me something he likes. I show him something I like. Yeah, and yeah. We would just go back and forth. And I show him this song called Give Them Love by Mishka.
Yeah.
And so we're sitting there, we're jamming. And he was starting to put together the Rum Punch. He was giving me samples of it. So we're sitting there. So I'm getting lit.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, I go back up to the room to get Brandon and get changed for dinner.
Yeah.
And I come back down, and we had bought some Cubans earlier in the day.
Yeah.
Earlier in that day, and I'm about to embarrass myself, earlier in that day, we had some awesome freaking smoked jerk chicken at this, like, great. This, like, smoke shack up in the road. So keep that in mind later on in the story. We are, we're down at the bar. We're doing the Rum Punch, and Kenny is just no holds bar. Every time I take a sip out of my drink, he fills up that sip. Like, he will not let me finish a fucking drink.
Yeah, yeah.
So we make our way out to the veranda, out in the lanai. We're out by the pool. We meet, everybody's kind of came down, because, you know, it's like a happy hour for the whole hotel. So everybody's kind of down. We're mingling. There's a couple of people. We meet some other Americans that are actually stranded as well.
Yeah.
So they're like, so we talk to them, and I'm getting hammered. Now, picture that. Now, this is Saturday night. I have full intention of going to dinner and then going to party on the town on Saturday night. It's about 7 o'clock. I'm hammered drunk on Rum Punch. I decide that it's time to go smoke these Cubans I picked up earlier. Giant fucking torpedoes.
Yeah.
I sit down. I light it. It's the best tasting, smoothest cigar I've had in fucking for a long time. I get all the way, smoke it all the way down. To about the nub. Maybe a little bit left. I look over at Brandon, and I was like, give me the room key. I was like, I need to go up to the room. And I made my way up to the room. I lay down on the bed, dude, and I'm sweating. Like, the cigar and the rum, and there's the AC barely works in the room. And I'm sweating. I have a linen shirt on, a white linen shirt.
Take it off.
I'm barely, dude, it's buttoned down, but I'm like hustling. Like, I'm on the bed. Back, I'm face up, belly up on the bed, sweating profusely, trying to get this shirt unbuttoned. Laying there, I finally get it open, and I'm laying there, and it's like, you know how that when you're about to get sick, but you're trying to hold it in, and your skin kind of pulses, and you're sweating, and I'm like, it's gonna happen. So I run to the fucking bathroom, and red rum punch and jerk chicken just sprays all over the fucking toilet, dude. And like,
did
I'm
you get
fucking
most of it in, or was
like
it?
I'm fucking 20 years old again, dude. I swear to God, this is the most I haven't gotten so drunk that I've thrown up in fucking since in years, dude. It was sugary rum punch with fucking all that jerk chicken that I ate earlier.
Please tell me you wrapped it back up and got drunk again.
No, dude, I could not go back downstairs.
Really?
It was the rum on top of the food on top of the cigar. Yeah. It was so potent.
Yeah.
That Brandon found me the next morning on the bed with my clothes still on, shirt still open, a little bit of red on my shirt, stained my fucking white linen shirt.
So what did he do?
So he fucking, I mean, he was drunk too. He went to bed.
Did he go to dinner?
He actually, no, he stayed downstairs and finished partying with the people that we were talking to then came upstairs and found me and then went to bed. He's not a partier like I am.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, and then I was mad the next day. I was like, I missed fucking Saturday night in Montego Bay because I got too fucking rum drunk.
Yeah.
And I was mad, dude. And so Sunday night, after we got back from Ocho Rios, I was like determined. I was like, we're going to go out. So we did go out, but it was Sunday night. Everything was kind of dead. So I was like, you know what? And we were so drunk from the night before. I was like, I couldn't get drunk again. So I was like, you know, we're just going to go back to the hotel. But as fate would have it, we go out Monday night, we meet those people from New York.
Yeah.
And we go out, and my wish comes true. I get to actually, we go out all fucking night. We go to this place called The Rehab. First, we start at Margaritaville. And the Margaritaville there is not a tourist trap like it is around here in the States. The Margaritaville there is like a very local hotspot. It's like a nightclub. Like at night, it turns into a club.
Yeah.
So we're at the Margaritaville, and which is overlooking the bay. Two stories. The first story, it was like the first couple of days we were there, the waters were still a little choppy.
Mm-hmm.
And the first story, like the waves would hit the side of the rocks. Like you were saying earlier, they would come up and they come up to the second story. And wow. The first story would just get bombarded because everything there is open air.
Yeah, yeah.
It was awesome. So we start out at Margaritaville. We end up at the rehab. Actually, it's D apostrophe rehab. So it's the rehab. We end up at the rehab. And we're dancing with locals. We're you know, there's reggae music playing. And I actually got to live my dream of, like, doing, like, a Caribbean night out. But it so happened it was on a Monday night instead of a Friday night or Saturday night. So it works out. You know, it works out.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
So, I can keep going with way more stories, but we've hit the hour. And I've done all the talking this show, and my mouth's kind of dry.
That's okay. I'm just honestly going to be honest with you. I've enjoyed hearing it because it's the first time I've heard all this shit. So,
long story short,
yeah,
which is never going to happen with me because all my stories are long, but... It was an adventure in the Caribbean, and I would expect no less. I would totally do it again.
Yeah.
My epitaph has been written in the shores of the Caribbean Sea.
Ooh, like, love, yes, sir.
So
appreciate it, man.
It was something, and I actually hope people listen to the end of the show because I actually really like what I just said. Holy shit! I'm gonna use that. I'm gonna. Apparently,
you just kill it. You can't comment it after you do something. You just kill
I can
it.
Comment myself.
No, you can't. You just gotta roll. Come on, Tony.
Hey, I've already been told that I'm super shallow by my best friend this weekend.
Oh my god, I just said something amazing. It's like you just killed it, motherfucker.
No, indeed. I now know why all the people I look up to, I can never be. I can only dream. To even come close to the footsteps of the people I look up to, but I now understand why the Caribbean is such a intriguing place to. And it's not the first time I've been there again, but every time I go back, it's the same. It just gets better, and it's the Hemingways and the Hunter S. Thompsons and the Jimmy Buffetts and the Herman Walks and all the people that I look up to that have always succumbed to the expatriate. You know, it's just. I can see now why, because it's so easy to do that and to go there and fall into that lifestyle and everything is perfect there. And when it's not perfect, it's better.
Because it's more perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
So.
Well, we're glad to have you back, Tony.
And it's glad to be back. And next week we'll be starting back with regular shows.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sorry for last week's... being late because again I was stuck in the Caribbean, so I was marooned for extra days, so I didn't have time to edit
and do a little Jack Sparrow lifestyle, little Jack Sparrow action.
I was jacking it up.
Hey, the next show though, we got a good one coming up.
Wait,
I'm gonna go off for now.
We have a lot of good shows coming up for the rest of the fall.
We got some good shit coming up.
Sorry to see summer go, but I think I put it out with a bang, so I'm good for that. And we have a lot more stuff coming up. And as you guys know, we're coming into the fall and the holiday season, which is we're leading up to our big 100th episode.
Yeah.
And we're leading up to our yearly Christmas party.
Yeah.
Which I feel like gets bigger every year. We should start planning it now because it gets bigger.
And I think we're gonna have some live music for this one though.
Yeah.
We're gonna do it up this year. So if you do listen and you're in the local area, just be heads up for that shit. We're gonna have to throw it down. And I'm about to go.
All right, guys. We'll see you for episode 93. And
93?
This is 92.
Jesus I believe. Christ yeah. Almighty.
We got 7 episodes. We have 7 weeks to plan our 100th episode.
Fuck.
We're going to wait till like 7 days.
I didn't even get my costume figured out for Halloween. So we're...
Hell, I haven't even realized it's football season already. I missed the first week of football because I was in the goddamn Jamaica.
Guess what? Titans are playing old Jacksonville this weekend. So.
Oh, shit. Look, I come back to the head-to-head.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Hey, I love you. Be safe. All our Florida folks.
Yeah. If you were succumbed, if you were hit by the hurricane, shout-out goes out to you guys. Yeah. We hearts go out to you. I wish we can do more for you guys. Unfortunately, we're a small little operation.
We are poor. But so Tony spent all his money in Jamaica.
I did.
I have a drug habit.
I did.
Just kidding. But,
Chris actually is shooting up right now as we speak.
I'm addicted to dogs, and they cost me a lot of money and headache, and they shit all over my floor. Anyways, good night.
Enjoy your easy. See you guys next week. Hold on, supplemental. I forgot. One second.
We're back.
I forgot. I got your presents.
Oh shit! I got presents.
I brought you this 100% Jamaican Blue Mountain coffee.
Ooh,
that I was actually harder to get through customs than alcohol is,
really?
Because it's sealed in a vacuum package, and they thought I was smuggling ganja back. I actually got searched in customs. They opened my bag and they made me take that out, and. I brought back three. I brought one back for myself.
Nice.
One
is this
back
ground?
Yeah, one back for myself, one back for you, one for Kyle. And they actually made me open one to make sure it was actually coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, and I brought you back shot glasses. Nice. You have to pick one's for you, one's for Kyle, but because he's not here, you get to pick which one you want.
Ooh, so. First dibs. Okay. I already know which one I want.
All right.
I'm going to go for the Volkswagen because literally the first vehicle I ever drove, the first car I ever drove was a Volkswagen Miter bus, which is right here on this shot glass.
Mm-hmm.
And it says Jamaica, even though I do love the color scheme of the other shot glass. But I think I'm going to go for the Miter bus.
Nice.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, man. We'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, see you guys.